I'd just like to thank Mr. McMillan for the kind words of welcome, and it is a joy to be here to share my testimony tonight. I was just trying to remember how long ago it has been since I last preached here in Armagh. I think it must be about 20 years ago when I came to preach, and it is a joy to be here with you once again. Now, I haven't testified or given my testimony for about 20 years, so I hope I can remember my testimony. I jest, of course, because when a man or woman trusts Christ, they never can forget that moment. They trust in Him for salvation. Now, my testimony is not very dramatic. When I say that, it's not like the testimony of Saul of Tarsus. That was a very dramatic testimony. Dramatic intervention by God and His grace. My testimony will be more like Levi when the Lord Jesus Christ passed by and issued the call. Now, I want to give my testimony tonight by asking three very simple questions from the Word of God. And the first question is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. This is actually the first question in the Bible. And it is a question that is asked by God. And when you give some consideration to the question, you will see that God is seeking man. Adam and Eve have sinned. They have sinned against God. And the Lord God comes to the Garden of Eden. He comes and He addresses Himself to Adam. And He asks the question, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And that's the first thing I want to put to you tonight. Where art thou? When I was 3 years of age, I was sent along to the local Methodist church. I was sent along by my mother, and I went along with a neighbor who had been attending the Sunday school for many years. He was in the big class. And when I went to the Sunday school that day, because I didn't want to leave him and go in with strangers, I cried. And so the superintendent allowed me to go into the senior class. And I sat there for many years until almost the time I left Sunday school. I was about 12 or 13. And really, I couldn't comprehend what was being taught in that Sunday school class. It went over my head. And then, of course, my heart was sinful, and I had really no great interest in the things of God. And then when I left the Sunday school, I got a job, and I did what many young people do nowadays. They begin to take on with the things of the world, smoking, the drinking, the dancing, and all that kind of thing. But there was something within me that troubled me. There was something that seemed to hold me back from getting too deeply involved in the things of the world. That word kept coming to me, "Derek, where art thou? Where art thou?" I tried to run from God, but God was on my heels. He was pursuing me, and God came to me. Now, when you think of that story of Adam and Eve, you think of what Adam heard. The Word of God tells us that he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Now, we could use the word sound. We could remove the word voice and put in the word sound. It wouldn't make any difference in the verse itself. He heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, why does it say the cool of the day? That was the latter part of the day when things cooled down. Because the Lord God gave them that full day to think about the consequences of their sin, to think about what they had done. They had sinned against God. So God is coming in grace. And they hear this sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That was indicative of the presence of God coming to seek them. Just the way the Lord is coming to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church tonight, seeking you out, mentioning your name, whispering in your ear, "Where art thou?" Where art thou spiritually? Where do you stand with God? The Lord God came. Now I think about that word voice, or that word sound. And when we go to the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, you read there of a sound. It's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was an indication that God was coming upon his servants in the upper room by his Spirit. The presence of God is here. He's calling your name tonight. He's saying, "Where art thou?" That's what Adam heard. You've heard the gospel. And then when you think of what Adam had, what did Adam have? The Bible says, when he was confronted by the voice of God, by the Lord himself, he said, "I was afraid." This is the first time in the Bible where we read of anyone being afraid. There was never any fear before this. Fear only came when sin entered. Fear came because of sin. This is the first time in the Bible where fear is mentioned. Oh, I trust that you will fear God tonight. That you will believe in his Son. Because a day of judgment is coming. The day when men will appear before God to give an account. Where art thou? You can't hide from him. Where art thou? What he heard, what he had, where he hid. The Bible tells us that he hid among the trees of the garden. But he couldn't hide, you see. God came seeking Adam. He knew exactly where he was. You can't hide anything from God, by the way. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your secrets. He knows your sin. He knows where you were last night, where you've been today, where you'll be tomorrow if you're spared. There's not a thing he doesn't know but you. So God doesn't need any information. He didn't come asking Adam this question for information purposes. He knew exactly where he was hiding. And that's what I tried to do. I tried to hide from God. I knew the truth, but I wanted my sin. I wanted my pleasure. And I tried to hide from God. But God still kept coming. And I can still hear that voice of God calling me, "Where art thou?" God is seeking man. So let's come to the second question. And we find that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. It's the first question asked in the New Testament. And it's a question asked by men. And here we find man is seeking God. So in the Old Testament, God is seeking man. And now in the New Testament, man is seeking God. We seek him because he first sought us. We love him because he first loved us. We trust him because he first came to us. And he revealed something of his glory and majesty unto us. The question was asked by the wise men who came from a great distance to the city of Jerusalem. The question they put to those in authority, to the king upon the throne, where is he? Where is who? Where is Christ? Where is he? So God came to me and he said, "Where art thou?" I was trying to hide from God in my sin. I was lost. I was condemned. And then by his gracious Holy Spirit, the question came to my heart, where is he? Where's Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? Well, I started to work, got involved in the things of this world, and then something wonderful happened to me. I happened to meet a girl. And in many ways, it changed my life. Now, this is going back now 45, 46 years ago when I met Anne. And in those times, there were few cars for young people to have. So what we did in Ballymena, we went to Ballymena Saturday night. We got dressed up and everything and went out to look for a girl. And we used to walk around the streets of Ballymena, round and round the streets on cold winter, snowy nights in Ballymena. And one night in particular, I happened to meet up with two or three of these girls. And we got chatting the way things happen. And this girl said to me, "I know you. You work in G.B. Britton's shoe factory." And I said, "How do you know that?" "Well," she says, "I work there." And so we talked for a little while, you know. And the next Monday morning, when I went into the factory, There's little places in the factory called smoking bays. You were able to go for a rest or have a smoke there if you smoked and so on. And in the factory there were about maybe 200 ladies, maybe 150 men, and there was a division, some ranks between the woman and the men folk. And we were sitting, chatting, and we were talking about the weekend and so on. And I happened to mention to one of these men, I met a girl and I thought she was very nice, but I don't remember her name. It was a dilemma. And this old guy, he was one of these busybodies. He knew everybody. He was in everybody's business. And he says, I'll find out for you. So about 2 hours later, went back to the same smoking bay. He says, I discovered this girl. She just works up there. I know her name. Told me her name. He was actually related in some way to Anne at that time. I didn't know anything about her, he said. But I thought she was very nice. I still do, by the way. I still think she's very nice. So I was sitting there just after the break for lunch, and the ladies were getting back to their work and so on, and four or five of these friends of mine gathered around me, and they caught hold of me, lifted me out of the smoking bay, and they carried me up to where Anne's machine was. And all these women, they saw what was going on, and they began to shout and cheer like wild hyenas. The only way it is, full of excitement. And these four or five men, they set me down at Anne's machine, and everybody was standing there just waiting to see what was going to happen. So I was standing there, I was embarrassed, I didn't know what to do or what to say. 200 women watching from a distance and shouting and laughing and so on. And I just stood there. And my mates were standing behind, ask her, ask her, ask her. So it wasn't very romantic the way I asked her out, by the way, you know. I says, well, are you going to go out with me? And she says, no. And all those women, all those crazy women, they started and they took a bit of noise. And I was standing there, I was embarrassed, I didn't know what to do. And then I decided to turn around, very timorously, I turned around and began to walk away. As I was walking away, she says, hold on a minute. And I knew then that she was hooked. And I knew that she was going to be under my thumb. And she's been under my thumb for 47 years. And if you believe that, you believe anything. So that was it. And you know something? That was the best move I ever made. Because Anne's mum and dad were saved. Her father was a saved man, an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And what a man he was. And when that man died and when he was buried from the local Presbyterian church, there were 500 people turned up at his funeral. His Roman Catholic neighbours were all there in the church hearing the gospel that he loved. And he always preached to me. And then in the factory, they did have some lunchtime services. They invited me along to these meetings. Different preachers came along. And I fell under conviction. I fought it. I fell under conviction. Where is he? Where is Christ? Where's the Savior? Now, one night we were out on a date, and we talked about the things of God. When I went home, I was moved of God. I bowed at the side of my bed, and I prayed for God to have mercy upon my soul. Did he hear me? Of course he did. What did he do for me? He saved me by his grace. He adopted me into his family. He gave me a new standing before the bar of God, and I rejoiced in salvation. Next morning, I went into work. I sought to seek out Anne. I didn't go up to where she stood. I spoke to her through that fence, as it were, between the two of us, so nobody else would see us. I said, Anne, I have something to tell you. I got saved last night. And she replied, I get saved too. We were saved in the same night by the grace of God. Where is he? Where's Christ? Have you received him as your own and personal Savior? When you think of the men who asked that question, you think about the star they followed. They were given a sign from heaven. And God gives to us a sign in his word. He shows us the way of salvation clearly in the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about the son they found. They took a long journey. I don't know how long exactly it took. But I brought them to Jerusalem, and then to Bethany, to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And they found the Son, and they fell down at his feet, and they worshipped him. Have you ever come to the feet of Jesus? Have you ever been found down at the feet of Jesus, seeking his mercy and his grace? There's a lovely character in the Bible called Mary. Every time we read of Mary in the Bible, she's found down at the feet of Jesus. In her times of sorrow, in her times of sadness, she was found there. She sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking up in to see his beautiful face? Yea, he is altogether lovely. And I commend my Savior to you. You'll never have a friend like him. He'll never fail you. He'll never disappoint you. And in times of need, he'll always be there. The Lord of glory, the Son they found. And then the situation they faced. When Herod heard about what had happened, Herod wanted to kill these wise men, and the Lord warned them, go home a different way. And when men meet with Jesus Christ, they'll always go home, in a sense, in a different way. They'll go away from him changed by his grace. That's what Jesus did for me. He changed me by his grace. Where art thou? Where is he? And then finally, the question asked by one of the greatest fools in the Bible, Pontius Pilate, very important man. And they asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And at the end of the meeting, I want to ask you that question. What are you going to do with him tonight? Are you going to trust in him and believe the gospel? We got married. I went to work in a coach firm in Ballymena called Wrights. I wasn't happy there for years. I felt the Lord calling me to full-time service. I was elected to be a committee man in Ballymena Church. I was there in that role for a number of years until I went to college. In those days, you needed to have O levels. Now, all I ever had was a primary school education. I never got to college. And I had to do these three O levels. I passed the first two, no problem. The third one, I failed it three times. Couldn't get it. I was doing it by a correspondence course. I couldn't understand the course. I couldn't understand what it was all about. And then, one time, I was leading a service, and Dr. Bill Woods was the guest preacher. I admired Bill Woods for years and years, but I never met the man. And at the end of the service I was leading, I introduced him. At the end of that meeting, he said to me, are you Derek? I said, yes, I am. What are you doing about your O-level? And I says, how did you know? Well, this is what Dr. Bill said, and only Dr. Bill Woods can say it like this. It's time you had a chat with the man upstairs. That's the way he put it to me that day. So I took this to be a sign from the Lord. And before Dr. Bill returned to Brazil, he called me one night. He was at the airport. He says, listen, Derek, I've gotten a teacher lined up for you. He's a friend of mine. There'll be no cost involved for you. And he lives up in Belfast. I have it arranged that he will meet you on a Wednesday night or a Saturday to prepare you for these exams. I appreciated that. I thanked him very much. I went up to meet this man. He changed the course completely. And he gave me five sample questions that normally would turn up on the examination paper. And I wrote out these five essays, and I went from January to about June time, every Wednesday and every Saturday to Belfast. And then the time came when the exam was held in Larne. I lived in Ahokel at the time, but the examination was down in Larne, and it was the time that the children were doing their exams. So when I went into that examination hall, there might have been 150 children there, and all these little desks, you know, little desks used to have. Things have changed nowadays. But there was I in the middle of all of these children sitting down at one of these little desks without coal and everything that's sitting down here. And what an amazing thing, when I turned the page, I looked at it. I almost had a heart attack. The five questions that her brother had told me to prepare, and the five answers that I gave to him, those five questions turned up on the paper. Isn't that truly amazing? This is God, you see. God was showing to me, I want you to become a preacher. Dr. Bill said to me, I could never become a Free Presbyterian minister, but I helped to make one. And under God, I'm here because of my good friend, my brother, my encourager, Dr. Bill Woods. And you know something else? When I went into college, when Mrs. McMillan and her family cared for me in their home, Dr. Bill Woods sent me finances to help me to pay my fees during those first 2 years, and gifts after that as well. That's the kind of man he is. And I owe a great debt to him under God. So I did the exam, couldn't believe it. Time came, August came. The previous 2 or 3 years, I hated to go out around August time because everybody was asking me that knew me, how did your exam go? Oh, I failed. I went another year. How did the exam go? Failed another time. I hated going out at August time. So the day came when the results were out, and my brother-in-law was a teacher down in Larne at the time, and he called me when I was in the front office in the place where I worked, and he called me, and I didn't want to talk in front of the people because I didn't want another disappointment. So I said, I'll go round to my office, round to the little office, and he said, do you want to hear the result of your exam? I says, I'm not really caring about it. And he really got irritated with me because I said, I'm not really caring about hearing this. And I says, okay, what was it? He says, you passed. I says, Samuel, are you sure it passed? And if he had been irritated beforehand, he was going crazy now because I didn't believe what he had to say. So I set the phone down, and I happened then to phone the principal of the college in Larne just to make sure that this was okay. So I phoned the principal, and I said, that, gave my name and so on. And I said, I'm just inquiring about the exam results. And he looked up, and he says, yes, you've passed. Now, in those times, just to get a little slip of paper, you know, this length and that thickness, you know, and it gave you all the information and the grade and everything else. And I knew this from previous times, and I said, listen, would you mind if I went down to the school now just to pick that up to be absolutely sure that this is right, you know, because Presbyterian was on the following Friday and I wanted to have everything in order. He says, well, the school doesn't close here at 3:30, and if you're down before that, I'll give you this. So I called up my wife, who worked in the bakery at that time, to earn a little bit of money for us, and I got her out of work, and we drove down to Larne. We stopped outside the school. I wouldn't go in. I still didn't believe. I says, dear, you go in. You go in. I can't face another disappointment. So she went in, and she came walking out with a piece of paper up here. Yes, you've got it. You've got it. Now, I was about 20 miles from Larne up to Ballymena, and I stopped about three times up Shan's Hill there on my way back from Larne to make sure, look at the piece of paper, to make sure it was real. I went to the presbytery. I had the interview, I was accepted, and the first thing that Mr. Douglas ever gave to me, the first words he ever spoke to me, he said, there's a Greek book, and you've got to learn the first 20 verbs for starting in September. And I went through the Whitfield College. I thought I would never get into the college, by the way, and then when I was in it for those 4 years, I thought I was never going to get out again. But the Lord in his grace saw to it, brought me out, and later on, the Lord called me back to teach, to become one of the lecturers. I was there for 4 years, and I left. I had to resign when I got the call to go to Orlando. I went to Six Mile Cross for 7 years, Ballygown for 13 years, and just returned from Florida after 14 years. And the last day I saw the sun was the day I retired, the 3rd of May. We left on the 4th of May, and we returned to Dublin Airport on the 5th of May. And when those sliding doors opened in Terminal 2, I realized I was home in Northern Ireland. There's a gale force wind blowing, and I haven't seen the sun since the 4th of May. And that day we had to come, put all our heavy clothes on, coming back to Northern Ireland, and we were sweating on the way down to in the car but we need to have these warm clothes on before we get back to Northern Ireland. What shall I do then? But Jesus, I trusted him, and the Lord called me into a service, and I've been in the work now for 35 years. I'm retired, but I'm as busy as ever before in the service of God. What shall I do? Pilate's dilemma. The Jewish leaders said, crucify him. His wife said, don't. Have nothing to do with this just man. There's no fault in this man. His decision, he washed his hands, but he gave the command, take him out to be crucified. And then his destiny. The Word of God is silent about this. But if we can go by history, he eventually committed suicide in Rome. Maybe because he couldn't live with himself after what he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where art thou tonight, spiritually? Where is he? Where's Christ? Do you know him? Have you trusted him? The question is, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? May you trust in him the way I did, the way my wife Anne did. We trusted in him for salvation. May it please the Lord to bless you tonight, even through this short testimony and the challenge of God's precious word. May God bless you. Amen.